Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chapter 12. Ravana exhibits his prowess. The terrified Rakshasas ran to Ravana and informed him of Indrajit's fall. Having closed with the greater hero, your powerful son has met his end, they reported. The highly glorious Indrajit, after gratifying Lakshman with innumerable arrows, has gone to the next world. Ravana looked at his ministers for some moments in a state of utter dismay. He then fell to the ground in a swoon and remained unconscious for some time. When he recovered, he fell back onto his throne and sat with a downcast face, lamenting loudly. Oh, my son, where have you gone? You conquered Indra and chased away all the gods. How then have you been overpowered by Lakshman? When angered, you were capable of terrorizing even death himself. Your arrows could smash down the peaks of Mount Mandara. Time is truly all-powerful, for today you have been thrown down by the inconquerable force, even as you stood on the battlefield, weapons in hand. Ravana was inconsolable. He praised his dead son in many ways. Surely Indrajit had now reached the regions reserved for heroes. Now that he was dead, the gods, rishis, and guardians of the worlds would rejoice, their thorn being removed. Thinking of Mandodari, Ravana cried out in agony. Your mother, the blessed queen, will surely lose her life today. Soon I will hear the cries of the Rakshasa women as they toss about on the ground. What perverse destiny has brought about your end before mine? Oh, my dear Indrajit, how could you leave me here while Ram and Lakshman are still alive? Seized by unbearable grief, the demon king fell from his throne and rolled about on the golden floor of his palace. A violent anger then took possession of him, and he breathed heavily, jumping to his feet. He knitted his brows and roared furiously. Flames blazed forth from his wide-open mouth. He looked like time personified, about to consume all the worlds. The demon thought only of revenge. His eyes, red by nature, glowed brilliant with red with anger. Tears fell from them like drops of molten metal. He ground his teeth, making a sound like two mountains being rubbed together. Taking up his long, razor-edged sword, which shone like the bright blue sky, he held it aloft and thundered in fury. Pleasing the self-born creator of all the worlds by rigorous austerities, I received from him an infallible boon. Not even the gods or demons combined can kill me in battle. What then of a couple humans? Bring my bow, fetch my impenetrable armor. Today I shall march out and make short work of Ram's entire army. Looking as if he might destroy the universe itself, Ravana glared all around him. His ministers shrank back in fear, uttering plaintive sounds. The demon king said to them, my dear son played a hoax upon Ram by killing an illusory Sita. That hoax shall now become reality. I shall finish Sita, who is so dear to Ram. Bent on his evil purpose, Ravana immediately rushed out of his palace toward the Ashok Grove. Seeing the infuriated demon coming out of his palace with upraised sword, the other Rakshasas felt heartened. Surely now the war would soon be ended. Ravana had overcome the four guardians of the world. He would certainly have no problem with an army of monkeys and bears. The demon stormed toward his gardens, but as he moved swiftly along the pathways, his ministers ran up to him. They stood before him, trying to dissuade him from his intention of killing Sita. Already a terrible carnage among the Rakshasas had been wrought simply due to her being kidnapped. What would happen if Ravana actually killed her? Ravana would not be swayed. He strode into the gardens. Sita saw him from a distance and began to tremble. Seeing his furious disposition and uplifted sword, she could understand that he intended to kill her. The princess wondered about her husband. Had he been slain? Why was Ravana so bold? If only she had gone with Hanuman. Why had she decided to stay in Lanka, tormented by this cruel Rakshasa? This was all the fault of the cruel Mantara. Soon that wicked maid would rejoice with her purpose fulfilled. If not only already dead, then Ram would certainly not survive long when he heard of his beloved wife's death. As Ravana came close to Sita, a minister named Suparshva got before him, saying, "How are you contemplating such a mean and pointless act, O ten-headed monarch? No good can ever come from killing a woman, for it is condemned by everyone. This lady should be protected. You should vent your wrath on Ram and Lakshman, your actual enemies. If you kill them, this princess will then be yours to enjoy." Ravan considered this advice. Perhaps Suparshva was right. It would be foolish to needlessly lose the princess now after so much effort to retain her, and Ram might yet be overcome. There was no need to kill Sita now. Better to kill Ram. Then she would surely submit to him. Overcome by anger and lust, as well as burning grief, the demon turned away from Sita and made his way to his council chamber. Surrounded by his ministers, he entered the great hall, afflicted by agony. He sank onto his gem-encrusted throne and sat there, snorting like a furious lion. With folded hands, he addressed the assembly. "I now depend fully on all of you. The time to destroy our arrogant enemy has come. Tomorrow I shall march out to kill Ram. First, all of you should go out, weapons held high, and weaken the human prince and his army. I shall soon follow you." The Rakshasas roared in joy. They rose up in a body and rushed out of the hall. Mounting horses, chariots, elephants, and other carriers, they stormed out of the city. They immediately hurled a massive shower of axes, maces, spears, darts, and iron clubs upon the monkeys, who replied with trees and rocks. The two armies again fell upon one another with a tremendous clamor. Ram decided it was time he demonstrated his own insurmountable prowess. He immediately penetrated deep into the ranks of the Rakshasas. He moved like a whirlwind, leaving a trail of slaughtered demons in his wake. The Rakshasas could hardly look at him. No one could see his movements as he took out arrows from his inexhaustible quiver and sent them in all directions. By releasing the weapons of the Gandharvas, Ram made himself appear in a multitude of forms. To the confused Rakshasas, he seemed to be everywhere at once. They saw the curved golden ends of his bow whirling like a firebrand and seeming to completely surround them. His arrows flew from all directions simultaneously. They sliced the Rakshasas to pieces. In less than 2 hours, Ram had exterminated 200,000 Rakshasas, along with 18,000 elephants and 14,000 horses. The Rakshasas were completely routed and they fled in panic. Their chariots lay smashed and their armor and weapons littered the ground. With the mangled corpses of Rakshasas and animals lying everywhere, the battlefield appeared ghastly. The surviving Rakshasas rushed back to Lanka, looking back in fear of Ram. The monkeys cheered and surrounded Ram. Having withdrawn his divine weapons, he stood at ease, blazing with splendor. Sugriv, Hanuman, and Bibhishan looked in awe at Ram, who said to them, "Only the glorious Shiva and I can exhibit such ability with the celestial missiles." As the monkeys walked around Ram with folded palms, the gods and rishis praised him from the skies and a shower of flowers dropped down. Ravana sat sighing in his palace. All around him, he could hear the woeful laments of Rakshasa women who had lost their husbands and sons. He was at his wit's end. How had all this happened? What kind of humans were Ram and Lakshman? This was unimaginable. There were only a few powerful heroes left in the Rakshasa army. Even the gods could not have reduced him to such a plight. What then of an army of monkeys and bears led by a human? Ravana bit his lips and clenched his fists. His eyes were crimson and he snorted loudly. Like a losing gambler impelled to stake his all, the demon summoned the last of his commanders and ordered them to again march out for battle. This time he would accompany them. Reluctantly, the Rakshasas accepted Ravan's command. They were stricken with terror as they thought of Ram. Seeing his commanders trembling in fear, Ravan laughed and began to speak. With an endless shower of arrows resembling the rays of the sun, I shall dispatch Ram and Lakshman to Yamaraj's abode. Today I shall avenge my kinsmen and followers. I will wipe out the monkey battalions with waves of weapons surging like a violent ocean. Heads transfixed on arrows will appear on the battlefield like so many lotuses upon golden stalks. Each of my arrows will pierce 100 monkeys. The vultures and jackals will be fully sated with the flesh of my enemies today. Fetch my chariot and weapons. I shall immediately march at the head of my army. Ravana stood, bellowing out his war cry. The demons felt heartened that their king was coming out to fight. The lordly Rakshasa had never been defeated in battle. Surely, this spelled the end of Ram, Lakshman, and all the monkeys. Quickly, Ravana's charioteer brought his golden war chariot. It was equipped with all the divine weapons and adorned with celestial gems. Around its sides were thousands of bright golden pinnacles. Rows of bejeweled pillars held its great canopy, and a standard of cat's eye rose from its center like a massive palm tree. As it moved off, it thundered like a number of clouds, and it produced a beautiful ringing sound from thousands of small golden bells hanging around its sides. The Rakshasas were struck with wonder to see Ravana mounted on the chariot, which shone like the sun. The charioteer urged on the 8 celestial steeds, and the chariot sped like Lanka's central highway. Along Lanka's central highway, right behind him came the last of his generals, Mahaparshva, Virupaksha, and Sarutaka. Following them were the remainder of the Rakshasa forces, 300,000 elephants, 100,000 chariots, 600,000 horsemen, and the same number of infantry. Ravana led his force through Lanka's northern gate, and they rushed towards Ram's army, sending up loud shouts. Even as Ravana charged, the sun became dim and the four quarters were enveloped in gloom. Birds shrieked hideously and the earth shook. Clouds rained blood, and a meteor fell from the sky with a crash. Ravana felt his left eye twitching, and his face became pale. A large vulture perched upon his standard, and crows circled above him. Not minding these fearful omens, Ravana careened madly toward the massive ranks of the monkey army. He plunged into them, immediately creating havoc. With arrows decked with gold, he severed the heads of thousands of monkeys. Others were pierced in the heart, and still others had their limbs lopped off. Some were crushed by his chariot, and some smashed by his mace. Wherever his chariot moved, the monkeys could not stand and face him. An irresistible hail of arrows flew in all directions from Ravana's chariot. He was as hard to approach as the scorching sun. Soon the battlefield was strewn with corpses of slain monkeys. As Ravana plowed into the Vanara forces, they fled, tortured by his weapons. The demon king dispersed the ranks like the wind dissipating clouds. Having cut through the monkeys, Ravana searched for Ram. Sugriva became maddened upon seeing the destruction of his army. He threw himself into the battle and began annihilating the Rakshasas on all sides. Roaring at a high pitch, the Vanara king rushed at the Rakshasas, whirling a massive tree. He killed them even as the wind of destruction would knock down trees at the end of an age. Sugriva hurled upon the Rakshasas a formidable number of huge rocks in rapid succession, like a shower of hailstones falling upon a flock of birds. The Rakshasas fell by the hundreds, their heads smashed. They appeared like so many crumbling mountains hit by thunderbolts. Virupaksha leapt down from his chariot and challenged Sugriv. He shot 100 fierce arrows at the monkey. The Rakshasa then mounted upon a great elephant and roared. Sugriva turned toward the demon and seized hold of a huge tree. He bounded into the air and brought the tree down upon the elephant's head. The colossal beast staggered backwards and sank to its knees. Virupaksha leapt down and took out his sword. He rushed at Sugriv, who hurled a heavy crag at the demon. Dodging the rock, Virupaksha bounded forward and struck Sugriv a terrible blow with his sword. The monkey flew back and fell to the ground, breathing heavily. Coming back to his senses, after some moments, Sugriv sprang up and aimed a blow at the Rakshasa with his fist. Virupaksha avoided the blow and again struck the monkey on the chest. Sugriv, blazing with anger, swung his hand with the speed of the wind. He struck the Rakshasa on his temple with the force of Indra's thunderbolt. Virupaksha dropped to the ground with blood streaming from his mouth, nose, eyes, and ears. He tossed about, bellowing in pain. Losing consciousness, the Rakshasa gave up his life. Headed by Ram and Lakshman, the chief monkeys fought in a frenzy. Sugriv, Angada, Hanuman, and other principal Vanaras cut down the Rakshasa forces like a field of ripe wheat. The demon king Ravana agonized at seeing his own army overwhelmed. He turned to Mahaparshva and said, "O heroic one, my hopes now rest with you. Repay your debt to your master and destroy this hostile army of monkeys. Do not delay." The Rakshasa folded his palms and bowed slightly to Ravana. Raising his mighty bow, he rushed into the Vanara forces like a moth entering a flame. Endowed with extraordinary strength, he carved a path through the monkeys with his blazing arrows. With deadly accuracy, he severed the arms, legs, and heads of the monkeys, sending up his fearful war cry. Struck hard and reeling from Mahaparshva's attack, the monkeys ran to Sugriv for protection. The monkey king rushed at the Rakshasa and hurled a tremendous crag straight at his chariot. Mahaparshva saw the rock flying at him and, unperturbed, released swift arrows that broke it to pieces. Shattered into 1,000 fragments by a stream of arrows, the rock descended to the ground like a flock of vultures. Sugriva immediately tore up a tree and threw it at the demon with all his strength. Again, Mahaparshva fired arrows, which sliced the tree into pieces. Sugriva then picked up an iron bludgeon that lay on the ground nearby. He leapt forward and killed the team of horses yoked to the demon's chariot. The Rakshasa jumped down, clutching his dreadful mace. He hurled the spiked mace at Sugriv, and the monkey struck it with his bludgeon. With a great explosion, the two weapons shattered and fell to the ground. The two heroes fell upon each other and wrestled for some time. They struck each other with their fists, knees, and heads, roaring and yelling above the ground. Sugriv lifted the Rakshasa and threw him to a distance. Getting up at once, Mahaparshva took hold of a sword and shield and rushed at Sugriv. The monkey quickly looked around and found another sword. With upraised weapons, the two powerful combatants met together, shouting in joy. A fierce sword fight ensued, creating a shower of sparks as the weapons clashed together. Suddenly, Mahaparshva brought down his sword with full force into Sugriv's shoulder. It embedded itself in the monkey's armor. As the Rakshasa tried to extract it, Sugriv quickly swung his own weapon in a short arc and severed the demon's head from his shoulders. As the gods and siddhas looked on, the Rakshasa fell lifeless to the ground, his head rolled away with its teeth clenched and its golden earrings glittering. Sugriv stood with his blood-soaked sword, looking like a dark cloud graced by a bright sunbeam. The monkeys, overjoyed, cheered their leader and thronged about him. The Rakshasas fled toward Ravana, howling in fear. In the meantime, the other powerful Rakshasa commander, Surantaka, had been slain in a duel with Angada. Now Ravana alone remained among the great Rakshasa heroes. He was consumed by rage. Looking around at all his devastated army, he saw Ram and Lakshman fighting in the distance. The demon ordered his charioteer to go toward the princes. As his chariot moved across the earth, it gave off a sound like the rumbling of 1,000 thundering clouds. The ground shook and the monkeys fled simply by hearing the terrifying sound. The demon king took out a brilliant arrow and placed it on his bow. He then invoked a missile presided over by Rahu, a malevolent and powerful enemy of the gods. Ravana released the fearful weapon, which then annihilated the monkeys by the hundreds of thousands. Blazing steel shafts sped in all directions, dispersing Ram's army as the sun disperses a morning mist. None dared face the Rakshasa king as he rushed toward Ram. Seeing the demon approach like an onrushing comet, Lakshmana sped innumerable arrows toward him. Those arrows could hardly be seen as they screamed through the air, but the demon displayed astonishing dexterity in cutting them all down. Ravana went straight past Lakshman and approached Ram. He loosed a shower of arrows on Ram, which were like venomous serpents with flaming heads. Ram stood on the battlefield like an immovable mountain. He immediately countered Ravana's arrows with crescent-headed shafts that cut them to pieces. Ravana continued to send volleys of arrows at Ram, and the prince replied with equal numbers of his own. The sky was filled with arrows resembling flocks of golden birds. Ram and the demons circled each other from left to right, each fixing his gaze on the other. They appeared like death personified and Yamaraj himself meeting for a violent encounter. They completely covered the sky with their arrows and caused a shadow to envelop the battlefield. Both kept their bows bent to a full circle, and both moved with great speed, keeping their weapons trained on the other. Ram's blazing golden armor deflected Ravana's shafts, while the demon's impenetrable mail rendered Ram's arrows ineffective. Seeing his arrows falling uselessly to the ground, Ravana sent a dozen fierce shafts which pierced Ram's brow. With those golden arrows protruding from his head and producing profuse blood, Ram appeared to be wearing a shining crown decorated with a red garland. Impervious to the pain, Ram invoked the Rudrashtra presided over by Shiva and sent a fearful hail of flaming arrows at the demon. They struck Ravana on every part of his body, seeking out his vulnerable parts, but the demon's celestial armor again repelled the shafts, and they entered the earth, hissing like furious snakes. Ravana then invoked the fearful Rakshasa weapon, imbuing it with his own enormous personal power. As he released it, all kinds of strange missiles sped towards Ram. Some had the heads of terrible lions with wide open mouths, and others had the heads of wolves, jackals, donkeys, boars, dogs, alligators, and venomous serpents. Ravana's mystic weapon produced a frightening and discordant sound. It assailed Ram from every side. Unshaken, Ram moved with great agility and dodged the shafts as they fell. He dropped to one knee and took out a blazing golden arrow. Fitting it to his bow, he invoked the Agni-Astra. With that weapon, he produced arrows of every description. Some resembled the radiant sun, others the moon, and others appeared like blazing meteors. Some flew like flashes of lightning, and some were flaming crescents. Others rose into the sky like shining planets, descending to the earth like brilliant constellations fallen from heaven. Those divine arrows struck down all of Ravana's missiles, which were killing the monkeys all over the battlefield. Ravana blazed up in anger as he saw his wonderful weapon neutralized. He took out another dreadful missile, which had been fashioned by Maya, the architect of the celestial demons known as Asuras. Ravana charged the weapon with the potency of Rudra and fired it into the sky. At once, there dropped from all sides innumerable flaming pikes and maces along with massive iron clubs. Mystical nooses and thunderbolts fell upon the monkey army, accompanied by a piercing gale like the wind which blows at the end of an age. The demoniac weapon began to annihilate the monkeys. A vast number of blazing missiles directed themselves at Ram, who responded by invoking the Gandharva weapon. Immediately, countless arrows swept like a sheet across the entire battlefield. Without striking any of the monkeys, the arrows struck and disabled Ravana's missiles. All of them were cut to pieces, and they fell to the earth. Without a second's delay, Ravana employed the Suryastra. It brought into being a stream of large, brilliant discuses, which flew from Ravana's bow. As they rose into view, they lit up all directions as if 100 suns had risen on the battlefield. Ram stood firm and pierced every one of the discuses with his own shafts, charging them with a force equal to that of Ravana's weapon. They split apart the flaming missiles and rendered them harmless as soon as they left Ravana's bow. As Ram countered his missile, Ravana sent 10 barbed arrows which pierced the prince all over his body. Enraged, Ram instantly responded with 100 of his own arrows, which thudded deeply into Ravana's limbs. Lakshmana then came forward and challenged the demon. Raising his bow, he sped a number of shafts at Ravana that cut to pieces the demon's standard, which bore the emblem of a man's head. With a single crescent-headed bow arrow, Lakshmana severed the head of Ravana's charioteer. Then with 5 more well-aimed arrows, he broke apart the Rakshasa's gleaming bow. At the same time, Bibhishan leapt forward and struck down with his mace the demon's steeds, which were all as tall as hills. Ravan quickly leapt from his chariot and gazed at his younger brother with flaming eyes. He hurled a blazing lance at Bibhishan, which looked like a thunderbolt. But as it flew toward Bibhishan, Lakshmana cut it to pieces with three razor-headed arrows. That golden lance, which was bedecked with jewels, fell to the earth like a shower of meteors. Ravana took up another lance, even more terrible than the first. It shone with a lurid glow and emitted bright blue tongues of fire. Ravana raised his lance and fixed his gaze on Bibhishan. Lakshmana saw his friend in danger and covered the demon king with countless shafts. Ravana was stunned by the ferocity of Lakshman's arrows, and he turned to face the prince. He shouted out in anger, "You have saved Bibhishan, but now you yourself are in grave danger. O proud one, stand ready. This lance, made by Maya Danava for the destruction of the gods, will pierce your heart, leaving your body only after taking your life." Ravana leveled his infallible lance at Lakshman. It was adorned with eight golden bells and gave off a loud chiming as the demon pulled it back. With his bludgeon-like arms, Ravana hurled the lance with full force. It sped through the air, cracking like thunder, and spread a shower of brilliant sparks in its wake. Seeing it approach, Lakshmana uttered an imprecation. "May you prove ineffectual. May your attempts to take my life fail. May all be well with Lakshmana." As the prince spoke, the lance struck him full in the chest. Grievously hurt by the weapon, Lakshman collapsed unconscious to the ground. Ram was seized with sorrow to see his brother reduced to that state. His eyes filled with tears and his mouth became parched and dry. As furious as the all-devouring fire of universal destruction, he glared at the demon. Ram ran over to his brother. The lance had pierced his armor and stuck into his body. Ram carefully extracted the lance and snapped it in two. He gently lifted Lakshman and embraced him. As he held the grievously wounded prince, Ravana shot serpent-like arrows at him. Without caring for the arrows, Ram called to Hanuman and Sugriv, "Guard this prince carefully. The time has come for me to manifest my strength. I shall make short work of this ten-headed monster. Here is my unfailing promise. The world will soon be devoid of either Ravana or myself. Let the three worlds witness my power today in battle. I shall achieve a feat which will be spoken of by all beings for as long as the world exists." Ram stood up and immediately released an endless stream of ferocious shafts at Ravan. Greatly harassed, the demon replied with a shower of flaming steel arrows and iron clubs. Ram countered Ravana's missiles as they sped through the air, striking each and every one of them down. He fought wildly, sending screaming arrows that struck Ravana on every part of his body. The demon fell back as Ram closed on him. He was entirely covered by Ram's golden plumed shafts. Ravana could hardly do anything in response as Ram unleashed his fury. Completely overwhelmed, the Rakshasa turned and took to his heels. Chapter 13, The Final Battle. So we'll end there. As Ravana retreated in fear, Ram went back to Lakshmana. He dropped down by his side and cradled the prince's head in his hands. Lakshmana seemed dead. The wound in his chest looked terrible, and Lakshmana did not appear to be breathing. Choked by tears, Ram spoke aloud, giving vent to his grief. "Oh, how painful it is to see my beloved brother in such a state. My strength is deserting me as I look upon him lying here. Even if I win this fight, I will feel no joy at all without Lakshman. Indeed, this prince has followed me through thick and thin. If he has now departed for the region of death, then I too shall follow him." Ram lamented loudly for some time. What would he say to Sumitra if he returned without Lakshmana? How could he face Bharata and Shatrughna? Surely they would censure him for failing to protect his younger brother. It would be better to give up his own life than hear the reproaches of those most dear to him. Ram fell weeping to the ground. Hanuman raised him up and comforted him. He called for Sushena, the Varnara physician. Perhaps Lakshmana would respond to his treatment of celestial herbs. Sushena approached the fallen prince and examined him carefully. He looked up at Ram and said, "Your brother still lives. See how his bodily luster has not departed. And I can detect the movement of his life air and the beat of his heart, but he needs urgent treatment." Shushena asked for more of the celestial herbs which Hanuman had fetched from the Himalayas. The herbs were brought quickly, and Shushena administered them to Lakshmana. By the divine power of the herb, Sanjeev Karani, the prince slowly returned to consciousness. Then Shushena carefully administered the herbs, Vishakalarani and Santani, which together healed Lakshman's grievous wound and repaired his bones. Slowly he sat up and looked around. Ram was overjoyed. He pressed Lakshman to his bosom with tears in his eyes and said, "By good fortune you have been saved from the jaws of death. If you had died, I would not have been able to carry out this fight." Lakshmana, pained to hear his brother speak in that way, replied, "You have taken a solemn vow to kill Ravana and install Bibhishan on the throne of Lanka. You should not make that false for any reason. O great hero, fulfill your vow at once. Let us see the evil Ravana lying dead on the battlefield, cut down by your arrows." Ram seized his bow. A terrible anger took hold of him. Lakshmana had spoken well. The time for the arrogant demon's destruction had arrived. As Ram looked around, he saw Ravana seated aboard his golden chariot. Having rested, the demon was again rushing at Ram and the malefic planet Rahu, as the malefic planet Rahu rushes toward the sun. From where he stood, Ram immediately shot a steady stream of arrows that shone like fire. They rained down upon the demon, who in turn loosed off torrents of shafts that hissed like serpents as they flew at Ram. From the sky, the gods observed the combat. Seeing Ram standing upon the ground, Indra desired to assist him. He summoned Matali, his charioteer, and asked him to fetch his chariot. In a moment, Indra's radiant chariot appeared, drawn by its thousand steeds. Indra ordered Matali to take it to Ram, and the charioteer at once descended onto the battlefield next to the prince. With folded palms, he respectfully addressed Ram. "Here is my Lord Indra's chariot, O Raghava. Here also is his mighty bow and other infallible weapons, as well as his invincible golden armor. Please use all these to attain victory over Ravan, the enemy of the gods. I shall act as your charioteer." Ram gazed with amazement at the wonderful vehicle. It was bedecked with glowing gems and wreaths of celestial flowers. A tall pole of cat's eye stood in its center, bearing a brilliant golden standard. The chariot was suspended a bow length above the ground, and a crystal staircase came down to Ram's feet. He circumambulated the chariot and then climbed aboard. The prince quickly donned Indra's armor and took up his bow and celestial arrows. As he stood upon the divine chariot, he looked like the sun illuminating all the quarters. At Matali's command, the heavenly steeds surged forward, and the chariot moved off with a rumbling sound that filled the earth and sky. Ravana, realizing that Ram was being assisted by his mortal enemy Indra, became even more enraged. He had fired a celestial missile which unleashed hundreds of thousands of dreadful-looking serpents, their wide-open mouths vomiting fire. Witnessing and hissing, they came all sides and sped towards Ram. As the venomous snakes descended upon him, Ram at once invoked a weapon presided over by Garuda. A shower of arrows shot from his bow, turning as they flew into golden eagles with fierce talons and sharply curved beaks. The mystical eagles intercepted and destroyed all of Ravana's serpents. The demon roared furiously. He struck Matali and all of his steeds with a forcible torrent of shafts with glowing steel heads. The Rakshasa then sent a crescent-headed arrow which tore down the chariot's golden standard. He followed this with countless other straight-flying arrows that struck Ram on every part of his body. In seconds, Indra's great chariot was completely covered with Ravana's arrows so that no part of it was visible. With his 10 heads and massive bow, Ravana stood in his chariot looking like Mainaka Mountain risen from the ocean. Observing the demon overwhelming Ram with his arrows, the gods and rishis felt despondent. The monkeys became fearful and they observed grim-looking omens. The sun became dim and the sea tossed with waves that seemed to rise up to the sky. Jackals howled, and ghosts and wraiths darted about on the battlefield. So intense was Ravana's assault that Ram was unable to lift his bow and fit his arrows. Ram's eyes turned crimson with rage. He began to think of the destruction of the entire Rakshasa race. With great expertise, Matali drove the chariot upward and away from the hail of Ravana's arrows. It burst forth like the sun emerging from a cloud. The gods showered blessings on Ram, while the Daityas and Danavas uttered benedictions upon Ravana. When the king of the Rakshasas saw his adversary again stationed before him, he took up a fearful-looking dart. That terrific weapon had spikes resembling mountain peaks. It had a flaming point which glowed with a brilliance that could not be looked upon. The dart was dear to Ravana and had been carefully kept and worshipped by him, reserved for a time when he faced a deadly enemy. It was irresistible to gods and demons alike. Ravana raised it with his serpent-like arm and roared with full force. The earth shook and the mountains trembled, sending their lions and elephants fleeing in fear. Looking at Ram, the Rakshasa thundered, "This dart, powerful like a thunderbolt, will now take your life. Hurled by me, it will strike both you and your brother, leveling you and all the Rakshasas you have slain. Guard yourself if you can." The demon at once threw the dart. It flashed through the air, covered by a circle of lightning and emitting a deafening scream. Ram instantly sent 100 arrows at the dart, but they were deflected and fell useless to the ground. Without losing a moment, Ram took up Indra's celestial javelin. He forcefully hurled it, and it flew like a blazing meteor straight at the dart. Struck by the divine lance, Ravana's weapon was split apart and dropped to the earth. The javelin, giving off a delightful sound from the many bells tied around it, returned again to Indra's chariot. Ram immediately followed that astonishing feat by sending a fierce volley of arrows at the demon. They struck Ravana in all his limbs and pierced his 10 heads. The demon blazed with anger and replied with an equal number of his own arrows. Ram intercepted Ravana's arrows while simultaneously continuing to strike him. The Rakshasa then released an even greater number of shafts, which penetrated Ram's defense and pierced through his armor. With blood shining on his breast, Ram looked like a great kinshuka tree in full blossom. Neither opponent could easily see the other, so great was the number of arrows filling the sky. Ram pulled clear of Ravana's attack and laughed heartily. He rebuked the demon. "You are proud of your strength, O Rakshasa, but it will not save you now. Indeed, since you stole away my consort while I was not present, you cannot be considered heroic. You are a shameless coward given over to vanity alone, vaunting yourself as a hero. Had you tried taking Sita from my presence, you would not be alive today. By good fortune, I see you now on the battlefield, prepare to receive the results of your despicable and evil acts. O vile one, carnivorous birds and beasts will soon feast on your flesh and blood." With redoubled strength, Ram then sent wave upon wave of arrows straight at Ravana. The prince felt increased enthusiasm for the fight. He invoked all the celestial missiles, and they immediately appeared before him on the battlefield. In great joy, Ram fired the weapons at the demon one after another. He recited the incantations with full concentration as he released his arrows. Charged with the mystic power of the divine astras of the arrows, tore into Ravana and sent him reeling. As he staggered about on his chariot, the Rakshasa was showered with rocks and trees by the monkeys. The demon was reduced to a sorry plight, being unable to lift his bow or do anything in his defense. He sank down on the floor of his chariot. Seeing this, the charioteer veered away from the fight and retreated. Ravana remained stunned for some time. Gradually returning to his senses, he saw that his charioteer had taken him away from the battlefield. He immediately chastised the charioteer with harsh words. "How have you disdained me in this way, O evil-minded one? Obviously, considering me to be bereft of power, heroism, and prowess, you have covered me with shame. Today you have nullified my valor, dignity, and fame. While my enemy stood expectantly before me, deserving to be gratified by my arrows, you have made me into a coward." Ravana was beside himself with fury. He accused the charioteer of siding with the enemy, and ordered him to return immediately to Ram's presence. The charioteer replied that he had only done what he felt was his proper duty. Ravana had been completely overpowered by Ram's weapons. Out of affection, he had desired to save his master's life. Citing verses from scriptures supporting his actions, the charioteer begged Ravana's forgiveness. The demon king was appeased. He nodded at his charioteer and commanded him to return with all speed to the fight. Urged on by Ravan, the charioteer lashed his horses, and within a few moments, the chariot stood again before Ram. On the battlefield, Ram was himself expressing his exhaustion from the fight. In the heavens, the great Rishi Agastya saw this and desired to assist him. Agastya had been observing the battle from the sky along with the gods. He now descended to Ram's chariot and spoke to him. O mighty armed Ram, please listen as I tell you the secret of a highly confidential prayer, the Aditya Hridaya. This prayer will invoke the powerful spiritual energy from the heart of the sun. This is the very effulgence of the Supreme Vishnu himself. With this power, one can overcome any obstacle and destroy to the roots all of one's enemies. Agastya instructed Ram how to recite the prayer, which would summon the combined power of all the gods, emanating from the bodily rays of Vishnu. With that power, Ram would be able to quickly overcome Ravana before nightfall, when the demon's own power would be doubled. The Rishi returned to the heavens, and Ram turned toward the sun. After sipping water for purification, he recited the Aditya Hridaya. At once he felt extreme happiness, and his mind became highly enlivened. All his fatigue vanished, and he took up his bow. He stood firmly on Indra's chariot, fixing his gaze upon Ravana, who had again appeared before him. He urged Matali forward toward the demon. In the heavens, the sun god stood in person amid the other gods and uttered benedictions upon Ram, saying, "May victory attend you." Ram saw Ravana's chariot flying toward him, filling all quarters with its thunderous rumbling. That chariot was drawn by huge black steeds with the heads of hideous fiends. It shone with a dreadful luster and was adorned all over with brilliant rubies and celestial sapphires, with rows of pennants flying from its sides. Moving rapidly through space, it looked like a cloud containing streams of shining water and issued forth torrents in the form of arrows. Ram said to Matali, "From the way in which he is darting back into the fray, it appears that this Rakshasa is bent upon his own destruction. Close upon him with care. I shall destroy his chariot even as the wind would blow away a cloud." Grasping Indra's bow, Ram tempered his anger with patience as he awaited his opportunity to attack the demon, who was maneuvering on the battlefield. Matali skillfully drove the chariot in circles and gradually closed on Ravan. The two opponents releasing streams of arrows and appearing like two proud lions intent on killing each other. Suddenly, many frightful omens appeared. Blood rained down on Ravan's chariot while violent whirlwinds tossed it about. A flock of vultures circled over the demon. In the distance, Lanka was shrouded in a red glow. Great meteors fell from the sky and the earth shook. The sky became darkened even while the sun shone. Terrible thunderbolts and flashes of lightning fell upon the Rakshasa army. Ravana's steeds shed hot tears and emitted sparks from their mouths. Around Ram were seen many favorable signs that portended his imminent victory. The sun illuminated him brilliantly, and a gentle breeze blew behind him. He felt his right eye and arm throb, and his mind felt joyful. As Ram and Ravana met in fearful combat, the two armies stood motionless with their weapons held fast in their hands. Observing the man and demon engaged in a desperate duel, all the warriors, along with the gods, Gandharvas, and Rishis, watched in wonderment. The two belligerent opponents each exhibited their full prowess on the battlefield as they hurled blazing weapons at each other. Ram fitted a highly sharpened shaft to his bow, as irresistible as a thunderbolt and shining with splendor. Drawing back his bow to a full circle, he released the arrow at Ravana's standard. It severed the tall pole, and the demon's ensign fluttered to the ground. Ravan burned with indignation. He sent a hail of flaming steel arrows at Ram's steeds. Struck by the arrows, the celestial horses neither flinched nor shook, but continued to draw the great chariot, describing various circles and movements and baffling Ravana's arrows. The demon fired a tremendous shower of maces, iron clubs, discuses, and mallets, as well as mountain peaks, trees, pikes, and double-headed axes. At the same time, he released tremendous volleys of arrows, which fell towards Ram's chariots like streaks of golden lightning. By Matali's expert handling, Indra's chariot constantly foiled Ravana's weapons. The Rakshasa became more and more infuriated as he directed his mystic missiles upon the army of monkeys. Seeing this, Ram fitted celestial weapons to his bow, which sent innumerable arrows into the sky. Those arrows fell upon Ravana's weapons and smashed them to pieces. No arrow shot by Ram failed to find its mark. The sky was completely filled with his golden plumed shafts. The missiles of the two fighters met together in hundreds and thousands. They created explosions of fire and billows of smoke across the whole battlefield. Ram and Ravan fought vehemently for hours without interruption. Exchanging blow for blow, neither felt wearied nor inclined to give an inch to the other. Those observing the fight felt their hairs standing on end. No one could take their eyes off the furious fighters as they battled on, relentlessly seeking victory. Ravan sent 20, then 30, then 100, and then 1,000 arrows at Ram, aiming at his vital parts or seeking to kill the charioteer and the horses. Ram responded with twice that number, digging shafts into Ravana's steeds and charioteer, while at the same time constantly covering the demon. Even after fighting for half a day, neither seemed to have the upper hand. Ravana then composed himself and once again invoked the Rakshasa Astra, imbuing it with all his mystic potency. Immediately the air was filled with a thick shower of every kind of weapon. The entire globe seemed to shake and the ocean became agitated. Serpents and devils appeared screaming in the sky and emitting fire from their mouths. The sun lost its brilliance and the wind ceased to blow. In the heavens, the gods themselves became fearful and cried out, "May all be well with the worlds!" With full concentration, Ram again invoked the Gandharva Astra, which caused hundreds of thousands of arrows to appear and counter Ravana's weapons. Those awful and demoniac missiles fell to the ground and burned up, being pierced by Ram's fiery shafts. The battle between Ram and Ravana could only be compared to itself. Such a fight had never been seen at any time, even by the gods. They watched anxiously as Ram came under the repeated ferocious attacks from the Lord of the Rakshasas. Ram remained calm. He took from his bow a great razor-headed arrow that resembled a venomous serpent. In an instant, he fitted and fired the arrow at Ravan. That arrow, imbued with mystic power, divided into 10 and tore off the demon's heads. But they immediately grew again. Ram sent another weapon, which again severed the Rakshasa's heads, and again they grew back. Ram struck down 100 heads, but the demon remained standing. Without showing his attack for even a moment, Ram contemplated this wonderful phenomenon. How was this demon to be killed? No weapon seemed able to take his life. It looked like the fight might go on forever. Bibhishan quickly approached Ram. He told him that the demon had a boon from Brahma, that his heads and arms could never be destroyed. In Ravana's heart was a store of celestial nectar which renewed the life in his body. The only way to kill him was to strike at his heart with a divine weapon that could dry up the nectar. As Ram considered his next move, all the while raining arrows upon Ravan, Matali turned to Ram and spoke, "O Ram, the time for this one's death has come. Recall now the prayer Agastya told you. Agastya also gave you an arrow when you were in the forest. Imbue that arrow with the force of the Brahmastra and kill the demon by piercing his heart. Accepting Matali's advice, Ram remembered the celestial arrow which Agastya had given him long ago in the forest. At once it appeared in his hand, and he fitted it to his bow. Its shaft was made of ether, and its weight consisted of the Mundra and Meru mountains. The wind god presided over its shaft, the fire god over its plumes, and the sun god was installed at its point. It looked like the rod of universal destruction wielded by the time spirit himself. Ram again chanted the Aditya Hridaya prayer and then invoked the infallible Brahmastra. As Ram drew back the arrow, he shone so brilliantly that no one could look at him. He released the weapon, and it flew at Ravana, lighting up the earth and sky and roaring like a tumultuous ocean. It struck the demon on his chest, even as he stood firing his own weapons at Ram. Piercing right through his heart, the arrow emerged from Ravan's body, soaked in blood, and entered the earth. Ravan whirled about and let out a cry which seemed to shake the entire creation. His bow dropped from his hands, and he fell from his chariot like a mountain struck down by Indra's thunderbolt. The Rakshasas fled panic-stricken in every direction. They shed tears of grief on seeing their lord slain. The monkeys leapt about, chasing the fleeing Rakshasas and shouting with joy. The sound of drums and other celestial instruments sounded from the sky. Delightful breezes blew on the battlefield, carrying heavenly odors. A dazzling shower of brilliant flowers fell from the sky and covered Ram's chariot. The gods and rishis praised Ram, who stood blazing with splendor. The battle was over. Ram climbed down from the chariot and was surrounded by Lakshman, Sugriv, Hanuman, Angada, Jambavan, and Bibhishan, who all praised him and cheered for him for his incredible feat. Sri Ramchandra ki!
Jai!
As he gazed upon his brother's dead body, Bibhishan then began to lament, "Alas, O Ravana, how have you been killed? After displaying your power for a long time, you now lie motionless with your brilliant diadem thrown off. The very fate which I predicted has come to pass. Why did you not heed my counsel that was meant always for your good? Overcome by lust, greed, and anger, you have met the sure result of harboring these three mortal enemies of the soul. O my brother, now that you've been slain, everything seems void. The sun has fallen to earth. The moon is merged in darkness. Fire does not emit flames, and all energy has become bereft of effort. All of Lanka is lost." Although shunned by Ravana, Bibhishan had loved his brother and had always desired his welfare. He fell by his side and continued to cry out. Ram approached him and placed an arm around him, consoling him with soft words. "Your brother has died a hero's death. No hero has ever been known to be always victorious. Sooner or later, a warrior will die at the edge of weapons. This is the end sought by all great fighters. Oh, Bibhishan, there is no need to mourn for Ravan, for his death was glorious." Lakshman also consoled the grief-stricken Bibhishan by telling him spiritual truths. Although Ravana's body had fallen, his soul remained alive. Indeed, having been purified by Ram's weapons and by his death in battle, he would surely have attained an exalted destination. There was no gain in lamenting over a corpse once the soul has departed. Bibhishan should now perform the last rites for his brother and then assume the rulership of Lanka. As Lakshman finished speaking with Bibhishan, Ravana's wives suddenly appeared on the battlefield. Crying like female elephants, they fell upon their husband's body and bathed him with tears. Dozens of Rakshasis, their hair and garments in disarray, surrounded the fallen Rakshasa. They rolled on the ground and wailed in agony. Ravana's principal wife, Mandodari, was at their head. She swooned upon seeing her husband dead on the battlefield. After regaining her senses, she gazed upon his face and lamented loudly, her voice choked with tears. "Alas, my lord, how have you fallen at the hands of a man? You, who struck terror into the hearts of gods, Gandharvas, Siddhas, and even great rishis, now lie killed by a mere mortal who came walking from Ayodhya, a city of humans. I do not consider Ram to be an ordinary man. He must surely be Vishnu, the sustainer of all the worlds, the unborn, inconceivable, and all-powerful Supreme Person. None other could have laid you low. O Ravana, although you conquered your senses, winning great boons from your austerities, in the end, you have been conquered by those senses. Fallen prey to lust, you desire to enjoy the sinless Sita. By stealing away that godly lady, the very emblem of chastity and nobility, you brought destruction upon yourself and all your kinsfolk. Mandodari could not contain her grief. She slumped over Ravana's body and continued to wail in piteous tones. O hero, where have you gone now, leaving me forlorn? When I was always your devoted servant, why did you long for Sita? Alas, my life is useless, as it could not satisfy my lord. Although we roamed and sported together in every delightful region of heaven, I am now fallen into a fearful ocean of grief. Woe be to the fleeting fortune of kings. Mandodari looked up with tear-filled eyes and saw Ravana's brother nearby. Here stands the pious Bibhishan, she cried. Having ignored his wise advice, you now lay slain. Surely a sinner always reaps the results of his sin in the end. Just as the virtuous always receive their results, your brother will now enjoy royal fortune while you are sent to the next world. There's about a page left. So, look at the Bhajaneers. You're all here. Could you set up right now? Because I don't want any break between the end of that and the bhajans, if that's okay. Mandodari cried over her husband's body for a long time. Sitaram, 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 Jai Sitaram, 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 Jai Sitaram. You should face this way. Why don't you face this? You should face the audience. Yeah. Face the deities. Yeah. Well, you face like this, face the audience and the deities, sort of. Apparently, you don't have to face it. As you like, it's your program. You need my drum, right? It's in the car. Keys are on top. Drums that way, down the parking lot. It's right in, but it's in front of the, on that street over there. You'll see it, it's just right on the street. Yeah, take a right outside the door and it's straight ahead, over there. Mandodari cried over her husband's body for a long time. Everyone stood by silently allowing her to vent her grief. Finally, the Rakshasa king's other wives gently lifted her up. They supported her on both sides and led her away while she continued to wail. Ram spoke again to Bibhishan. Death has ended all animosity. Ravana is now the same to me as you. Please perform the proper rites for his everlasting spiritual good. In accordance with time-honored custom, Ram wanted to immediately perform the last rites for his fallen foe. Bibhishan stood reflecting for some moments. He told Ram that he felt unable to perform the funeral rites for his brother. Ravan was cruel, merciless, and given to heinous sins. Although his brother was not worthy of Bibhishan's respect, Ravan's obsequies were the act of worship he could not honestly perform. Ram smiled, O Bibhishan, no disdain should ever be felt for the soul. Once dead, a person's soul leaves his body and proceeds to its next life. Ravan's sinful body is now dead, but his pure soul continues to live. The soul is always worthy of respect. You should therefore carry out the rites for the eternal good of your brother's immortal soul. Bibhishan looked down at Ravana's body. It was a fact. The soul of all beings was a pure part of the Supreme Lord. Ignorance only exists in the external material body, not the soul. Ravana's sins, which proceeded from his ignorance, had ended with the end of his body, especially as he had been slain by the Lord himself. all taints of sin were surely cleansed by such a death. Bibi Ishan at once began the necessary rituals. He had his brother's body brought into Lanka, and he lit a sacrificial fire, making offerings of grains and ghee and worshipping Vishnu on Ravan's behalf. Along with the elderly Rakshasas and Yutadanas, headed by Ravana's grandfather, Malayavan, Bibhishan carried out all the rituals strictly in accord with the instructions of scripture. Ravan's body was placed on a huge bier. He was draped with golden silks and covered with flower garlands. To the sound of various musical instruments, the dead Rakshasa was borne by 100 demons to a consecrated spot. Brahmins among the Rakshasas carried the sacrificial fire in front of Ravan. They built a pyre out of logs and fragrant sandal and pamaka wood, along with ushira roots and bhadrakali grass. The demons then placed Ravana upon the pyre and threw handfuls of parched rice, sesame seeds, and kusha grass. After uttering sacred mantras and sprinkling the pyre with ghee, Bibhishan set it alight. It quickly blazed up, and within moments, the Rakshasa's body was reduced to ashes. Sri Ram Ki Jai.